Good evening. I'm Dan Daly. I'm the publisher of the Director's Letter and Executive Insights video. I apologize for the somewhat casual outfit here, but it's evening on Wednesday. Donald Trump was inaugurated as President of the United States on Monday. I'm talking to you this evening because, frankly, events are moving very, very quickly, and I do not want to talk about politics, but what I want to talk to you about is the importance of what is going on, driven by the Trump administration, relative to how it might impact your business. There may be some very positive impacts. There may also be some negative impacts. But the important thing for you to understand and for your leadership to understand is that things are changing. They are changing drastically, okay? And they are changing in a very big way. Donald Trump, in his inaugural remarks, I don't know if you heard of it, heard them, spent a fair amount of time talking about what he saw as the disastrous situation in this country in every category. It could be crime, it could be inflation, it could be anything, and he is going to solve that. So I mentioned that not from a political standpoint, but that is the factor that is driving him, and it is driving his agenda. So the agenda is not just something to be discussed. The agenda is what he intends to carry it out and is, in fact, carrying it out. We talked in the several directors ago about uncertainty. Things have changed, all right? I got a very interesting quote from a friend of mine. We talked about uncertainty and talked about risk. He described uncertainty is not knowing what might happen. Risk is knowing what could happen and doing nothing about it. So we're talking today not about uncertainty, we're talking about risk, and we're making suggestions and observations to you as a business leader, what you should and might do relative to that risk and what is going on today. So there are a great many things covered in his inaugural address. I'm going to have to look at some of my notes here, but he made some very strong statements, and I will deal with them in broad brush because they'll impact you. My suggestion is, and I know this sounds childish, that the senior people in your business follow the news on a daily basis, whether they get a briefing from a professional inside or outside the company. You have to know what is going on politically, geopolitically, economically, military, etc., beyond just your operation. That's how it is today. Now, you may already be doing that, and if you are, well done. But if you're not doing that and you're focusing just on your business, you're putting your business and the sustainability thereof at risk. So let's talk about a couple of issues. He dealt relatively heavily with a climate in a broad sense. He doesn't really support climate as a climate crisis, but we have to keep in mind that we had snow in Pensacola. We had snow in New Orleans. We've had hurricanes. We've had flooding. We were this. So climate is going on no matter what anyone says. Now, it could be cyclical or it could be partially man-made, but we cannot ignore it, and you cannot ignore it. If you have a plant that is located near the water, you've got to make a projection. Is that plant going to have its ground floor and lobby underwater in 5 years? Can that happen? Of course it can happen. So that's climate, but I think you are probably having, in most cases, that under discussion. I think the situation in California with the fires, while tragic, yes, there's a climate factor, but I don't think it's necessarily the climate crisis that we're talking about. It may be aggravated by that with the Santa Ana winds. It may be aggravated by the drought and the dry conditions, but I don't think that's the same as the flooding, the snow, and the tornadoes that we're seeing. So climate is a factor, and I would have to say that President Trump does not feel strongly that climate and the climate crisis is a risk. So enough about climate. However, that does lead us to two business sectors. He is not supportive of tax incentives and motivations for electric vehicles. He is going to eliminate them. Now, I realize some of those are federal, and I realize some of those are state, but if you are in any way involved at any level in electronic vehicles, you've already seen the sales slow down. Not the growth, there's still growth, but the growth is slowing down. I think if he moves forward on some of this and takes the emphasis off it, you're going to see that even more. Now, how that ties in with Elon Musk? I have no idea. Probably you don't either. Elon Musk, last time I checked, is pretty well involved in electric vehicles, and the president is saying he's taking the emphasis off it. The same thing applies to wind. All right, didn't discuss solar per se, but wind. Not big on windmills, okay? Now, that's a major, major factor for a lot of companies that are investing in the real estate related to windmills, that are investing in the hardware, the financing, et cetera. So we've got a situation where an industry, electric vehicles, and another industry, wind power, is being affected, and he is saying he's going to cut back on that. I don't believe there was any big discussion of solar. But there are two industries that you should look and say, is my company involved at any level in those two industries? Very, very important. Now, the other thing he said it in his campaign, he said it in an inaugural speech, he is going back to, all right, oil and gas. Quote, unquote, drill, baby, drill, to make us stronger in terms of our ability to be self-sufficient in terms of fossil fuel and the ability to export things in an excessive way like natural gas. Okay, that's just something, if you're involved in an industry like that, it's probably going to be relatively positive. If you're moving more towards green, it's going to be not a problem. It's going to be a problem, rather. I'm sorry. But oil and gas, he has said there's going to be emphasis. His cabinet agrees with that, etc. So we've got EVs, we've got windmills, we've got oil and gas. Now, something that affects all of us, and it's not necessarily directly business related, is he has set forth in an executive order in the United States, there will only be two genders, male and female. I don't want to get into the politics of that, but it does have some impact on your company in several ways. One, you probably have a DEI policy, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, how much you're emphasizing that, a lot of companies are reducing their emphasis on that. But if you have that policy, you have to think, what is he saying and what is he doing that might impact that? Will it curtail it? Will it make it illegal? If you say there's only two genders, well, that's it. So I'm not saying anything to rush out and change that, but you have to think we're relative to federal policies of two genders, male and female. How does that affect DEI? The answer is, I don't know, but you can't ignore it. You may have to change your policy. You may have to reduce it, but it's something that your company has to be aware about. Now, an awful lot of the things, if you looked at it over the last couple of days, were done by executive order. He sat and signed them the night of his inauguration. He went back to the office and he signed various executive orders. You should be aware of what orders were signed and how they might impact your business at some level. Doesn't mean it's going to give you a green light, doesn't mean it's going to give you a black, but it could very definitely. Now, having said all that, there are some things that come into play. One, okay, is can they do it without congressional support? That's going to depend on what the executive order is. What will the Supreme Court be involved in? So the executive orders can be signed in the short run. They can take place. They can take place before someone challenges them from a constitutional standpoint. So just someone saying to you, well, he can't do that, that's not constitutional. That's not necessarily the case. In the short run, he may very well be able to do it and cause considerable advantage for your company or put your company at significant disadvantages. You have to know what that executive order does and how does it impact your company and how is it likely to remain in place or be removed. Yes, it's some work. You cannot afford to not follow that. There can be no surprises relative to these executive orders. I presume that they will continue. Big issue we've all talked about is tariffs. He stated in the last day or two that that particular effort will not commence until early in February because they need more data. Okay, that's fine, early February. That is something that you really have to put some time into because there are very few global companies that are not going to be affected by tariffs that he puts in on certain countries, namely China, okay, Mexico, Canada, and perhaps some of the EU countries. they will have an impact. Now, we can debate as junior economists that, all right, fine, the exporter is going to absorb that tariff. Maybe, okay? The importer will absorb that tariff. Maybe. All right, the importer may very well say, I can't afford to absorb that tariff. I've got to pass it on to my consumer and my clients in terms of increased prices. That is pretty complicated calculus. Pretty complicated calculations to make. You got to make them. You got to make them. And the tariff could be 10%, 20%, 25%. And the country, perhaps China, is not just going to sit there and say, oh, that's a shame. America's putting tariffs on us. They're going to retaliate. So if you are getting from various countries that are being tariffed, okay, you may very well find that other things, your raw materials, your finished products, your partially are going to cost you more. So it isn't just necessarily finished goods that are going out of Mexico or Canada or China. It could be partial goods or even raw materials. So this is a calculation that's going to take a fair amount of time, and it's going to take a lot of time for you to monitor. Will it go into effect? I think it has to. I think it has to because it's been such a core of his economic policy all during the campaign that I think in some fashion tariffs will have to go into place. Now, what is a positive thing is that Secretary of State Marco Rubio has been confirmed by the Senate, and last night or the day before, he in fact met with foreign ministers from, I think it was India, Japan, and Australia. He met with them the last day or two, and I'm sure that the idea of tariffs and things like that came up. That's a good start. That's a positive. I also think he's a pretty good Secretary of State potential. All right. So these are the things that you have to follow on a daily basis. They take time. Now, I don't expect the CEO or the chairman of the board or the lead director to drop everything. You still have your responsibilities. But one of your responsibilities is going to make sure that your company knows what is going on and is looking ahead with counsel. That counsel can be inside the company, it can be outside the company, but it's counsel saying, what if this might happen? Oh, that's never. So absolute, yes, it will happen, no, it won't. I just don't see that situation. It's going to be one that's in flux. Wall Street. I think Wall Street is licking its chops. It's ready to go. It's got its checkbook. Its pockets are full of money. They are ready to do deals. Now, whether they're good deals or bad deals, I don't know. But I think you're going to find a surge in the Q1 and Q2 of M&A activities. now, along with that is going to be who's got the money and who are they interested in acquiring, diversifying, etc. You have to look and say, oh, it's going to apply to my company. It may not be. Your company may be very attractive. It may be mildly attractive. Your company may be too expensive. So, but there will be M&A. There is a lot of money, whether it's venture capital money, okay, whether it's private equity money, side deals, shadow banking, all that will be available. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a good deal for you. It can be. But there will be activity, and I think that will last for a while because Wall Street has had a couple of slow years in terms of M&A and investment banking. They're going to be ready to go. At least that's what they say. So I think if you're involved in Wall Street, you've got to follow what is the status of the regs, and you've got to follow who are the appointments as head of the SEC and all the different regulatory organizations underneath that. More regulation, less regulation, antitrust, et cetera. Those are things that you have to know. And frankly, if you're in Wall Street, you've got enough money to follow those. But if you're a company that might be involved in that, you got to find out what do you have to do? Who do you have to meet? What do you got to play with? Who should you be on the phone with? Who should you be making presentations? So again, that's going to be, I think, in the short run, positive for Wall Street. And I think it's going to be positive for those companies that are interested in some sort of merger acquisition, whether they're being acquired or whether they are acquiring. So I think that's going to be a pretty good area from that standpoint. So just repeating myself here, because I think it's important that you've got to follow this. And this isn't like a situation 12 months ago, all right? it can't be just the Wall Street Journal. It's got to be the Wall Street Journal Barron's, okay? The Financial News, all of these things. You've got to follow these. And you've got to get people that give you various opinions. I think this is wrong if you go with, let's say, one person in your company or one outside consulting firm. You need a lot of opinions. Why? Because I don't think anyone has a crystal ball and knows exactly what this man is going to do. And just as important, today, this may change in a week or two, we don't know what his cabinet is going to look like because the only one, to my knowledge, who has been fully approved by the Senate is Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. There's an awful lot of other people that have come into play, and there's a lot of departments underneath them, especially in the financial area, that have not yet got appointments in place. So a lot of work to be done. All right. Companies are very capable of doing, a lot of smart people out there, but I think that's got to be done. So that's what's important. Wall Street will be very interesting to see. We talked about excuse me, supply chains as it related to tariffs. Very, 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 very important.